This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Time is 8:07. It is Wednesday, January the 15th of 2025. Currently, fair skies, 6 below 0 in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. But it's a warm 6 below because there's no wind. There's no wind chill this morning. So it's a warm
spring,
6 below.
Right around the corner.
Exactly right. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to YouTube.com. We have a new YouTube channel since you've been here. We got a WXCO YouTube channel now.
Really?
So you can actually see us on YouTube.com. Just go to the YouTube.com, go to our 98.9 WXCO channel, become a subscriber. You can catch all of our shows. You can go back and watch previous shows as well. Yeah. Right there on that channel. We're going to expand on it and have some other cool stuff on it, but you can make comments and join us that way as well. And also, if you like to call us or text us, if there's something we're talking about that you either agree or disagree with, or if there's something we're not talking about that you think we should be talking about, let us know. Give us a ring. Give us a text. It's real simple. You can do it the old-fashioned way. 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us, or else get your Civic Media app out there. Open it up. The fourth one down is 98.9 WXCO. Open it up and then hit the text button or hit the call button and let us know what you think, because we'd love to hear from you. And you can also, again, comment on our YouTube channel or by going to our Facebook post as well. Coming up here on the program, in the second hour of the show, we are going to be joined at 9:34 a.m. by Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Yesterday, there was an ethics complaint filed against Wausau Mayor Doug Denny by 8 Wausau residents concerning the issues with the Dropbox back during the fall campaign. So we'll find out what's behind this specific complaint by these 8 Wausau citizens. Why was it necessary to have this complaint put out, to have an ethics investigation against the mayor? What does Nick Ramos know in terms of the Department of Justice investigation, again, of Wausau Mayor Doug Denny concerning the Dropboxes? So Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with us at 9:34. Also in the second hour of the program, we'll find out what's going on early in 2025 at the Grand Theater. We'll be joined by Grand Theater and Wausau Performing Arts Foundation Executive Director Sean Wright. He'll be with us in the early part of hour number two. And right across the way here, first time in 2025, very happy to welcome back to the program our good friend Bob Look. Bob, good morning.
Well, good morning there, Chad, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
and
Ian.
And Ian, I mean,
I forgot to give Ian the shout-out.
Ian is I don't know how he can stand being in his workplace, because he's got that big vacation coming up here.
Yeah, we got. I think he has a big calendar back there with the big numbers. You know,
every day X's amount.
He comes in and just rips it off, and then it's one day closer. What is the number today, Ian? What's your number to head down to sunny Orlando and see Mickey and Goofy and the rest of them?
Today is it's 4 days until I leave for my trip. I'm very excited, but I have to be patient and, you know, do my jobs this week.
There you go.
Good things come to those who wait.
He's going to have a countdown clock by Friday.
He'll be a countdown calendar in my home.
He'll be able to launch himself to Florida by the all that energy going.
I'm in such a good mood this morning, and I know.
Well, I'm peaked already.
I'll tell you why. Because I got up at the regular time way early. And you go, and I know I had to come on in here. I was worried, make sure the car starts and all that kind of stuff. But the first thing I did, I picked up my phone and I stopped and I found a video from David Letterman was showing, and he says, it was like a little tribute to Robin Williams.
I saw that.
Yeah. And so I was always a Robin Williams fan, so I didn't know how long this thing was going to be. And there's a whole bunch of the appearances he made on David Letterman's show, and just all this. And I was in my bedroom laughing my tail off. It just reminded me just the amazing breadth of comedic genius Robin Williams was. All these things are just coming out of him just so fast that you'd have to catch up, with your laughing because he was so fast. And I watched that and I shook my head and I went, what have I got to complain about? Man, this world was such a beautiful place with a person with that much creativity in that. Appreciate it and relish it, even though he's no longer with us.
The man oozed.
Oh,
I mean he could take a grain and just build a sandcastle.
And the ones that I love are those little side of ones that no one else really gets. But you know that Robin's throwing it out there for himself, and of course for Letterman, and Letterman's just losing it, and the crowd's not even laughing. Like, what's so funny? And Letterman, it's a little inside shot. And when you're inside, you know the punchline. So I'm in a good mood this morning.
That is fantastic. It just shows again the power of laughter. Yeah. It really does. I mean, it does. When you laugh so hard that it hurts, then if you make it, you just feel so good. I mean, whatever within ourselves, there's something in there that, our body chemistry, when you do that, it just, and I think nowadays, I mean, that is a wonderful way to start off our morning.
It made my whole morning.
Is my hero.
Really?
And he was my, I wouldn't say a hero, but I had so much respect for him because of the quickness and nothing, and very seldom, in fact, I always would watch all of his appearances on shows, talk shows or what have you. Just so I could see something that maybe I saw before, there was never a repeat. How does he do this?
And the thing about that's kind of funny because I get myself caught up in these YouTube rabbit holes. And, like stuff like that, you just keep going and going and going in certain areas. And talking about not repeating yourself, I got into a rabbit hole with some Steve Martin appearances on Conan and Carson and Letterman. And he basically did the same kind of bit with Carson back like 20 some years earlier than with Conan. But the thing was, back then, you would never have thought of, the thing was, I don't get mad at somebody, 25 years earlier you did something and you're gonna bring it back. I mean, but that shows there's nothing that's lost anymore.
No, nowadays. Correct.
It's all there. It's like incredible.
See, I like watching other comedians, because their pacing and how they do things. I was a big fan of Rodney Dangerfield. And when he was flying high with all his movie appearances and of course his touring, I went and saw him at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee with a couple of my buddies and that stuff. And we had the time we know the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know them. I remember going to see Henny Youngman at Summerfest at the comedy thing, like back in the 80s. Henny Youngman was old then.
I was going to say, why I'm laughing is I can only imagine, and I hope we have enough young people listening now that actually know who
Henny. And you go, well, what's a Henny Youngman?
They're saying, who the heck is Henny Youngman?
But I mean, there's other great comedians that are rolling right now that are doing a good job with their angles of getting humor. But I just appreciate the ability of standing up on stage.
It's a craft.
You're on by basically yourself. It's just you directing your communication to the audience, just like we're doing now. We're just talking to the audience.
Yes, the ultimate challenge of acting is being a stand-up, at least to me, because
You're out there with
local theater. I'm surrounded by cast members, and I can.
Oh yeah. So somebody else can pick it up.
When you're on stage by yourself, a microphone and some water bottles, I was like, you have to entertain this whole audience by yourself. Like that is a whole nother level of a challenge.
Well, in my younger
days, I can work up to that someday.
In my younger days, I tried those little amateur nights. You know, stand up. I'd work out to a little, like a 5 minute or 8 minute, spiel, and. Remember the first time I did this, I was on Brady Street, down on Milwaukee's east side. I can't remember the name of the place. It'll come to me eventually. But I walked up on, and it was basically, you would see a tumbleweed coming across the stage, and crickets were, making their noises. And I was just like, oh. That's when you start realizing you just can't come up there and wing it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be prepared, and you have to work these things out. The correct vocabulary, the right words, that some words are funny and some are not, and you find that out basically by throwing them out there and trying them on people.
You're exactly right, and I've read Steve Martin's book Born Standing Up, about basically his stand-up career, and that's exactly it. You hear the stories from people like Seinfeld and all the greats.
Yeah,
they're craftspeople. That's what I mean. They're the same thing as
George Carlin.
You talk about a man that knew language, and that's the intelligence that is needed, I think you can have connections with the most effective communicators in politics. I mean, the same way, you can have great ideas, you can have great ability, but at the same time you have to be able to speak to people in a way that connects with them, that says, has them nodding along, that hey, this person knows
and
my
relate.
Experiences relate.
That's the key thing.
And there are so many folks out there that run for office that would be wonderful, but they just are not able to have that connection, and ultimately their talents are never able to
They're handed very middle-of-the-road-ish type, responses. And, so you don't offend anybody. Well, what you've done by just going so safe is that nobody's listening anymore.
You're nodding.
You bored them.
People are going, they're falling asleep. But no, I got to tell you, in the big picture of the world, maybe we did not touch on the issues of the day, but that was a wonderful way to start a morning. I gotta say,
that's real. This is what I had this morning.
But when you came across something that made your day get off to a good start, and hopefully we can do that for the rest of this program and the rest of the day as well. But Bob, look across the way, Ian Welsh. Across the way, on the other side of the glass, and we will talk about the weather. It's going to warm up later today.
Better.
That's what we're hearing. So we'll find out for sure from Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, coming up next. The time is 8:18. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, a chilly start out there, below zero, six below, but the good news is no wind out there at least. So again, as I said earlier, it's a warm six below zero. I don't know if Brittany Merlot will go along with that or not, but our meteorologist joins us right now. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. It is warm six below, right?
Yes, exactly.
I agree with you.
And actually, I was saying to Bob during the break here, and I was coming into work this morning, and one of the nice things, you know, you're driving in, and you know the sun is coming up, and it really is actually kind of an attractive morning. I saw a number of people walking their dogs this morning. And I saw a few people. They're just look, enjoying the walk, enjoying their dogs. One of the dogs had the vest on. It was really a good looking dog, you know. And it's like, you know, no matter how cold it is, these folks here in Wisconsin, we just do what we do, right?
Yep. Keep pushing forward. I mean, I think I said this yesterday. I think at some point it all feels the same. Cold is cold, and we're just right. going to power through it, right? I'm glad to hear, though, that the puppy had, or dog, had a coat or sweater on because they get cold, too. So don't think that just because they're fur, they're any much warmer than we are. If you're cold, they're cold. So be careful and pay attention to their paws, too. The salt can rip them.
Yes.
So...
Something you said on one of our newscasts, and of course Brittany does the news as well, top and bottom of the hour, every hour here on WXCO, and you were talking about, I think it was on Monday, talking about what not to do in these very cold conditions when maybe you are on the verge of getting either, you know, frostbite along those lines. And one of the things you were talking about was don't rub. I mean, frankly, as I was driving, I was driving at the time, and I was listening to it. It was almost disturbing. I'm thinking about that and the way you were describing it, and it's really the opposite of what maybe people think. You think, oh, rub together, get some warmth in there, and you were saying, no, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Why is that?
Yes, because so what's happening with frostbite and frost nips occurring is the cells and the water in your hand and your skin are freezing. So they're freezing. And if you're going to rub them, you're going to damage them even more, and where it's not going to be fixable. So if you're going to be rubbing your hands, that's worse. What you want to do is just get them somewhere warm fast. What I do, because I've been outside, you know, they always send the meteorologist in the cold, crazy weather outside. So I have plenty of experience with this. And when my fingers are going absolutely numb, I can't feel them, but I have to stay outside for this next hit, I'll put them, you know, in between your armpits or between your legs. Mm-hmm. Don't rub, but just put them there, place them there, right, and let your body heat actually warm it up, because that's the quickest you can do in a, you know, dire situation. Otherwise, just get inside, use warm water, not hot water, warm water to slowly warm them up. You don't want any drastic changes in temperature, and you definitely don't want to rub them. So,
you mentioning, the TV days and being out there during these weird weather conditions. I think one of the, I always chuckle, and we don't see it anymore because we never get any snow anymore, it seems like. But when they would send the weather person out right outside the studio to stand with a ruler, and it would be windy, what do you have a favorite story when they would send you outside for one of these weather events?
I have a couple. My favorite, you know, I always try to make things positive. I never sat there and hated it, you know. So what I did one time, it was 30 below zero. It was actually snowing up north. Now, this is Minnesota weather. And I was in my dress because I was also in the studio, but they would send me outside as well every half an hour. So I was freezing, and I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm doing a snow angel. I don't even care. I was in a dress, freezing cold, just doing the snow angel. People
hope you got an award for that one.
Thank you.
Brittany, it's anything for the ratings, right?
I think it helped.
Man, oh man. It is Wednesday morning. The whole week up to this point has been a frigid start, but it is changing today, in fact, right?
Yes, we're warming up today. Those winds are switching out of the south, and they're going to get breezy. So we want these temperatures to warm. So we're going to have a wind chill once again. What it's going to feel like is about 5 below for our highs, unfortunately, but they're actually going to be reaching about 20. But those winds are also going to be gusting at 20. It's a warm wind. It'll eventually get us to the low 30s by tomorrow and the mid-30s on Friday, before another cold front pushes through and slams us back down colder than where we are right now. So a weather whiplash. Hold on tight.
Yeah, and if you thought this week was cold, boy, again, it looks like Monday, Sunday night into Monday, we're not going to come close to even getting to zero, are we?
Nope, we're not. We're going to stay sub-zero, plus winds on top of that. It's going to be probably our first extreme cold weather warnings going out. Deep freeze, that's for sure. Pipes freezing, all of that, and good thing we have a little more snow headed our way this evening. Probably after 5 o'clock, we're looking at half an inch to an inch of snowfall, because the snow on the ground is going to help with those freezing pipes, because that's going to be a problem come Sunday and Monday.
Well, we'll talk more about that as we get towards the end of the work week. Brittany, again, thanks a lot for the information. Have yourself a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Brittany. Have a good day, guys.
Amen.
Right now in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, it is fair, 6 degrees below zero, but the winds are calm, so no wind chill. Dew point 12 below, relative humidity of 75%, the barometer at 30.28 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. There goes my next career as a meteorologist.
All those numbers. You're talking about those live shots with television meteorologists. Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, I think, is the winner of being thrown into more life-threatening areas like hurricanes and blizzards and things.
Do you remember though Dan Rather when he'd go out there?
Oh yeah.
He loved doing that at the hurricanes.
I'm standing here. And it's like everything else is blowing past him. And the poor cat. I'm really thinking of the cameraman who's sitting there hanging on to that deal while that wind is buffering
when
you.
Dan says, we're going out.
Let's go get to the story. Oh, Dan.
Peter and Tom were still sitting in the studio. Dan was out there grabbing a hold of one of the light poles to stay, in the middle
of
the
storm. No wonder he ended his newscast with courage.
Exactly.
Right.
8:29 is the time. We have an information update coming up, news, weather, and sports, and then back with more with Bob Look coming up in just a few moments here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. I've got a pocket full of holes. Head in the clouds, the king of fools. You've got a ribbon and rainbow, the sun in your eyes. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can join us on our YouTube channel as well. A quick note, again, in the second hour, Sean Wright early on from the Grand Theater, and again at 9:34 a.m. we'll be joined by Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign discussing the ethics complaint that was filed yesterday against Wausau Mayor Doug Denny. But here in the first hour, across the way from Bob Look. And Bob, obviously we're now into the new year. We have the state legislature was opened. It was really cool, actually. I had a chance to talk to an old classmate of mine, somebody I graduated
That's
high
right,
school with,
yeah.
Kristen Alfheim, mm-hmm. and it's like really cool that somebody that you kind of grew up with is now, and she was talking about the excitement, brought her grandmother, who's like 98 years old, to come and be part of the swearing in. That was really cool. But now we're into that. The Congress is back into session. We're getting ready for the inauguration. What's caught your attention in terms of anything that's going on? It could be political, it could be non-political. Is there anything that's caught your attention here that we should kind of delve into a little bit?
Well, a lot of attention to the so-called nominations or the people that the new administration or the continuation of
Donald Trump's official family,
laying up there for approval. And there's so many, from the left, really just, oh, could they do this? Oh, there's no way. Okay, yeah, you're right. But, maybe this is kind of like the tough love time, back when you were a kid, and you would disobey your father, just far enough that it's time that he, puts down the hammer. I think this is, maybe the American public and the American voters going to be slapped back into reality pretty soon. And it's going to maybe take about a year, year and a half, and then it's going to be, oh my God, what the heck? It's when things don't work as they normally do.
Well, see, that's what I was telling Chad yesterday, is that, you know, eventually the people are going to get wise and come out from under their rocks and realize that this man is unfit for office and he should not have been elected in the first place. It's not going to happen soon, but eventually I believe it's going to happen.
Well, one of the ideas, and maybe to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, Bob, is the idea that people, and I find it a little hilarious, because I went on Pat's show yesterday and I said, kind of a little, you know, joking around, you know, why did this, he had an issue with technology in his previous time. I said, why? DEI this. Because, you know, that's what everyone's saying. But at the same time, they're talking about unqualified people. Then you look at the people that have been brought in. Like you say, I mean, these jobs do have definite responsibilities. You can say, well, they can always get great deputies. But the idea that when you look at the qualifications up and down the line, and even Sean Duffy, who's not going to have any issues, you know, they say, well, he's got experience, you know, in Congress. He has nothing in his background that says he could to replace Pete Buttigieg, who I think has done a wonderful job as transportation secretary. But you just look down the list of these nominees, there's a lack of seriousness from the incoming president that you would think that it should matter, right? It should matter. I guess we're going to find out.
If their philosophy is based on that government does not work, well, they're trying like hell to prove it. You know, that's the name of the game right now. I get to the point where I'm not as focused on the nominees or the people that he's appointed and to go through the process of being accepted or not. I don't follow that much. You know, when he starts talking about, you know, changing the Gulf of Mexico and call it the Gulf of America, saying that Canada is going to be a 51st state and stuff, that goes in one ear and out the other, because right. All it is just, hey, look at those shiny keys. Oh, look at that squirrel. And dogs might, you know, exactly. Follow that. But I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm looking at the bare bones, you know, type of things, you know, about... Is the mail department, you know, postal service going to be still running correctly? Are banks going to be, you know, stable?
Right.
Because, you know, all those nice little positives that have been happening, not just recently, but for the past 4 years, as far as every month being a positive as far as employment goes, creating jobs, wages going up. You know, there's going to be people right now who are doing pretty well who are going to go into this and go, all right, well, now Trump will show them how things are. And suddenly, maybe close to 2 years from now, you're going to be going, I used to have a job, or, well, they're cutting back my hours, or, well, they found somebody that had less money. I was not in a union, and they just got rid of me. It's going to, you know...
Maybe policies matter. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
You know, and we can sit there and talk, saying, well, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Well, sometimes people have to see it
to
believe
right.
it and deal with it. So I just, like the patient fishermen, sit and wait for them and they take the bait.
The sad aspect of it, though, is it seems as though people catch attention of the bad things even before the good things. Because as you said, last Friday morning when it was announced the final jobs report for the Biden administration, another 256,000 jobs. And the part that's always, it makes me chuckle a little bit, is because almost every month you hear it, higher than expected. And then the number that that nobody ever talks about when it comes to the idea of prices. And obviously for the first couple of years after the pandemic, the inflation spike hurt a lot of people.
Without doubt.
And it's not to minimize that, but at the same time, the United States was, I think, injured a lot less than a lot of other countries, because there's a global aspect where when you have the entire system go into chaos for 6 months to a year and then try to rebuild it. But the number that drew my attention on Friday was how wages grew. That Biden and other Democrats over these last 4 years have talked about growing the economy from the middle out, going, you know, up and down, as opposed to trickle down. And there's also a story that I saw that, you know, the Republicans are going to come in here in the next week or so and try to extend the Trump tax cuts or maybe even add to them. And there was a story talking about how a right-wing group is spending $20 million to convince working people that this is a good thing. But a study came out, and again, you can take it with a grain of salt. I mean, studies you can find studies that give the information that you want on either side. I acknowledge that, but it rang true that said that the Trump tax cuts of 2017 basically gave almost 100% of the benefits to the top 1%, and it makes sense because that's where their priorities have been for such a long time. But it feels like a lot of the good things that occur kind of get caught under the wave of silliness when it comes to news coverage. But when things get bad, then people, their attention is grabbed. And that's it's a depressing way to think that we have to go through something bad in order for people to really realize what works and what doesn't work.
There's an author, not an author, but also a professor, Scott Galloway is his name. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've had a chance, but he's written, but he was on, you know, and he's, look him up on YouTube, folks. Scott Galloway is the guy's name, and he's a wealthy individual who started a business, and you know, he's the guy stepping forward saying, you know, I should be paying a heck of a lot more in taxes. That just makes sense. I says, because the difference in somebody who is worth who made $10 million or $15 million a year, a larger tax cut. Say that out of that $15 million, we're gonna take an extra $1.5 million from you. That doesn't mean anything to him. Mm-hmm. You can't fathom it. But if you make $30,000 a year or $50,000 a year, and suddenly it says, you know, well, we're going to make a tax, you know, cut of, you know, so it means more, because that's going to be going right back into the economy, being spent on things that, you know, you've held back on buying because things were tight. The other side, when it's the wealthy people, where does it go, that tax cut? In their pocket.
Well, it's all part of a ledger in a lot of ways. It's basically moving money around and not really doing anything for the economy. And also, we heard over and over again in 2021 and 2022, well, from so-called financial journalists and the like, well, there's a recession coming. I don't think it was an accident that the economy grew consistently over these last number of years. I don't think it's an accident that people's take-home wages have gone up, that the policies brought through, the way that, say, the Infrastructure Act was implemented, it matters. And I don't think people realize that. I think because, as you said, Republicans consistently pound on the fact that government doesn't work. If government doesn't work, no, it does matter. And I think a lot of people don't think it matters because you have one of the major political parties in this country constantly telling you this, and they've got a media infrastructure that amplifies that as well.
Well, again, you know, people only want to believe what they want to believe. Even if the facts are against your belief, you're still going to, you know, stand by, I don't believe that. It's pretty easy when you look at your intake of wages, and I run on a budget like any other mm-hmm. human being. I don't sit there and say, well, let's say, oh, I got to, you know, January there was an increase in what I received in Social Security, right, which was $12 or something mm-hmm. more. I can't, but it was something. I didn't run out and think I'll go buy a new car. No, I still got my, you know, 2014 over here that's, you know, runs well enough. I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll buy myself a ribeye. You know,
maybe the size of your what is that?
That's a frappe.
Okay, a frappe. So maybe you get a bigger one this time.
Yeah, well, no,
or they're just one size. I don't know.
Well, whether it is a bigger one or not, I like this because it does everything I need in the morning. It gives me a little caffeine buzz without doing the coffee tearing my insides out. And I'll have this until about noon.
One thing about, you said people listening to Pat Kreitel told me a story on the air a couple weeks ago saying that he has a friend of his who had said, basically, I know what Trump tells me is not true, but I want it to be true. So he believes it. And that was like the most depressing thing that I'd heard in a long time, where we get not only to the point where they are just wrong maybe on something, but they're willfully wrong. And it's like, that is a step almost too far at times for me to understand.
Well, again, I was impressed with MSNBC and deciding, and I don't know who really came up with the idea or whether it was, you know, done by, you know, herself, you know, to go back on Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Instead of just that Monday night.
I mean, come
for the
on.
First 100 days, right. Of the, because as she pointed out on her telecast on Monday, don't react to what he says. Focus on what he does. And that is
wise words.
That's the way I'm going to be looking at things, and that's the way I always have been looking at things. Because you can hear anybody talk about, I'm going to guarantee lower unemployment. No, let's see. What are you doing right. to achieve that? How are you going to get this done? You know, it's boring as hell, all the minute things, but that's the stuff that makes either works or doesn't.
By the way, and I know you listen to the podcast as well. The Olbermann podcast.
Always.
I do too. I wish he'd be back on. I think that's something we need. I understand Rachel. I understand Chris Hayes. But sometimes you need somebody to go in there with a little bit of fire and brimstone.
Well, Keith is also the kind of guy that, there's a lot of people over at MSNBC, even though that he pretty much, you know, set them up for
the bridges weren't burned. They were napalm.
They were annihilated. He runs by his own, and
he tells the stories. I love that part of his podcast.
So
some of the stories behind the.
And every
scenes.
Time I listen to him, I go, you know, I'm trying to find something where he's wrong.
I know,
or where he's maybe lying. It don't happen. He's pretty straightforward, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, but a lot of people don't like to hear that.
No, they don't. So,
but I'll. What? Keith, listen to our podcast and rip us on your
there
show.
There you go. 8:49 is the time. We're going to take a quick timeout and come back. More with Bob Look here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmeshow, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. When you hear that I'm off in Triple Falls on a Monday night, do you does it make you miss doing high school sports any more?
Yes, but no. Yeah, man, it's kind of a yes-no proposition because I always enjoyed going to
right.
do the game.
It's getting there and getting back, right?
Yeah, because of the weather, you know, flip a coin. Are we going to be in a ditch somewhere around Thorpe?
Right.
So I, you know, I envy it, but then I go, no. No, it's something that I think that people today are used to seeing, especially in this marketplace, Wausau. You know, in other markets throughout the state of Wisconsin, which is becoming a kind of a dying breed, because there's more radio stations cutting back on doing these things,
right.
And then you have these organizations that throw up a camera, and then throw a couple of grade schoolers to sit there and give you a play by play, kind of like the Big Ten Plus. Excuse me. I shouldn't, you know, but that's the truth, folks. And it's like, why was the Badger basketball game last night on Peacock?
We know why.
I know why. But why was the Big Ten Network even put together? You could figure out ways to try to draw more money. And now with the Milwaukee Brewers
Yeah, and was that interesting, huh?
Well, I posted that as a little special edition deal where that the Brewers, you know, want to work again with whoever the company, whatever they're going to call it now.
FanDuel Sports.
Yeah, well, it's called FanDuel. I think they're going to call it Midwest Sports, something or other.
Every time, every name change is coming quicker and quicker, I tell you.
Right, yeah. But he, you know, even the Brewers know that there's that, because the Brewers, I believe, ranked second as far as regional sports ratings for their games.
Wow, I did not know that.
Second, I mean, first place was the Phillies. Hmm. Philadelphia was the top, but Milwaukee was second as far as their ratings go with the percent of people who tune into it. And as I was doing that on my little writing thing about, you know, the Brew Crew Review, and just saying that that's an important part of the Milwaukee Brewers' loyalty to the fans. Mm-hmm. This is a state team. No matter what anyone says, this isn't a Milwaukee team. Right. It's a state of Wisconsin. When they built Miller Park, well, I'm Fam Field now, but when they built it and they had that roof on it, that first thing I said is, best thing I could ever done. Because now you guarantee a game. And when people drive long distances, yeah, won a game.
Yes.
I don't care if it's storming outside. Get that roof and have a roof there and get that damn game on.
obviously. <Sorry. laughs> No, it's all good. I got to ask you because, I mean, if everybody gets depressed when the Packer season ends because now the dog days of winter begin. What was your take on Sunday? Because it was not a great finish for the green and gold.
I had a little post on Facebook basically saying they can't drop balls. You can't have needless penalties. You can't have, and if you do, there's no way they'll even come close to winning. And pretty much, you know, and plus they have to quit acting like the youngest team in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that just reared its ugly head quite noticeably. And that's good because quite possibly they're, you know, with a couple of those, the veterans that they picked up, running back and the defensive back who came here to be successful, well, they're weeding the garden right now. Who can play, who can't play? And I'm sure that the general manager and there could be some changes made, and I wouldn't be surprised if, because the cap numbers are available now, that there's going to be probably a named wide receiver that's going to come to the Packers, that's going to make things a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of throwing to, who's that? I have no idea.
Devontae's coming back.
Well, I didn't say that.
I say it. He's coming back. That's my prediction.
But, well, we'll see.
And what, how are things in Madison? Greg Gard, number 200 last night. Congratulations.
Very nice. Nice win for Greg and his program. Badger Hockey has a weekend series this week, a weekend against Long Island University. Anytime you get Long Island University and the Wisconsin Badgers on a hockey ring, you just throw all the record books out.
Man, when you have weekends like this, back in the day, during this time of year, it would always be a WCHA weekend.
Well, when you have 17 in a conference.
That was one of the worst things that ever happened to Badger hockey, was the going away of the WCHA, and this, because they needed programming for the Big Ten Network. That's why this happened.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of other things that the great sport of hockey, I think, is getting shortchanged by the NCAA. And I voiced my opinion on this a lot down in Madison, and a lot of people kind of look at me like, hey, I'm an old geezer. I can bitch.
Well, whether it's college or even the high school level, we have a lot of the answers here.
That's right. Bring up something, and we'll figure it out.
So it's I imagine you're not going. They're not going to Long Island this weekend.
It's his home weekend.
I wonder what kind of facilities they have in Long Island. That's gonna be peak. I'm gonna have to look that up here to see how big their rink is when they play their home games.
Well, we'll see what happens. But again, the team right now is ranked number 19. So
had a terrible start.
They're at that edge where to make the NCAA, so they got to win these games this weekend.
Hey,
so.
Bob, always appreciate it. Way to lift us up here. That was really good.
If you want to laugh, look up
Letterman and Robin
Little
Williams.
Robin Williams today.
Hey, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Hey, coming up, we have Sean Wright and then Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, all coming up in the second hour here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.